Leela gives me her hand, and methodically and gently I start to wash her. She's grimy. She hasn't washed for weeks, it seems. There's grime everywhere. How does someone get this dirty? Lift your chin up. I scrub under her neck and down her other arm, leaving her skin clean and a little pinker. I wash her torso and her back. Lie down. She lies down in the bath and I wash her feet and her legs in turn. Do you want me to wash your hair? She nods, and I reach for the shampoo. I've bathed her before, several times, usually as a reward for her behavior in the playroom. It was always a pleasure. This, not so much. I make brisk work of her hair and use the handheld shower to rinse out the suds. By the time I'm finished, she looks a little better. I sit back on my heels.
Long time since you did this,
she says, her voice low and bleak, devoid of all emotion. I know. I reach over and pull the plug to empty the murky water. Standing, I reach for a large towel. Up you go. Leela stands, and I offer her my hand so that she can step out of the bath. I fold the towel around her and reach for a smaller one and towel dry her hair. She smells better, although in spite of the scented bath oil, the foul odor of her clothes still pervades the bathroom. Come. I take her out and leave her on the sofa in the sitting area. Stay there. Back in the bathroom, I grab my jacket and from the pocket extract my phone. I call Flynn's cell number. He answers immediately. Christian? I have Leela Williams. With you? Yes, she's in a bad way. You're in Seattle? Yes, in Anna's apartment. I'll be right there. I give him Anna's address and hang up. I collect her clothes and head back to the living room. Leela is sitting where I left her, staring at the wall. I go through the kitchen drawers and find a trash bag. Checking the pockets of Leela's coat and the slacks, I find nothing but used tissues. I dump her clothes in the trash bag, knot it, and leave it by the front door. I'll find you some clean clothes.
Her clothes?
Leela says. Clean clothes. In Anna's room, I find some sweatpants and a plain t-shirt. I hope Anna doesn't mind, but I think Leela's need is greater. She's still on the sofa when I return. Here, put these on. I place the clothes beside her and move to the sink at the kitchen counter. I fill a glass with water and, once she's dressed, offer it to her. She shakes her head. Leela, drink this. She takes the glass and has a sip. And another, just sips, I say. She takes another sip.
He's gone,
she says, and her face contorts with pain and grief. I know. I'm sorry.
He was like you.
Was he?
Yes.
I see. Well, that explains why she sought me out. Why didn't you call me? I sit down beside her. She shakes her head and tears well in her eyes once more, but she doesn't answer my question. I've called a friend. He can help you. He's a doctor. She's exhausted and remains impassive, but her tears trickle down her face and I feel at a loss. I've been looking for you, I tell her. She says nothing but starts shaking violently. Shit. There's a throw on the armchair. I drape it over her shoulders. Cold? She nods.
So cold.
She snuggles into the blanket and I head back into Anna's room to find her hair dryer. I plug it into the socket beside the sofa and sit down. I take a cushion and place it on the floor between my feet. Sit here. Leela gets up slowly, pulls the blanket around her, and sinks onto the cushion between my legs, facing away from me. The high-pitched whir of the hair dryer disrupts the silence between us as I gently dry her hair. She sits quietly, not touching me. She knows she can't. She knows she's not allowed. How many times have I dried her hair? 10, 12 times. I can't remember the exact number, so I concentrate on my task. Once her hair is dry, I stop, and it's quiet in Anna's apartment. Again. Leela leans her head against my thigh, and I don't stop her. Do your folks know you're here? I ask. She shakes her head. Have you been in touch with them?
No.
She whispers. She was always close to her parents. They'll be worried about you. She shrugs.
They're not speaking.
To you? Why not? She doesn't answer. I'm sorry it didn't work out with your husband. She says nothing, but there's a knock on the door. That'll be the doctor. I stand and go to open the door. Flynn enters, followed by a woman in scrubs. John, thanks for coming. I'm relieved to see him. Laura Flanagan, Christian Grey. Laura is our head nurse. When I turn, Leela is now sitting on the sofa, still wrapped in the throw. This is Leela Williams, I say. Flynn crouches down beside Leela. She gazes at him, her expression blank. Hello, Leela, he says. I'm here to help you. The nurse hovers in the background. Those are her clothes. I point to the trash bag by the front door. They need burning. The nurse nods and picks up the trash bag. Would you like to come with me to a place where we can help you? Flynn asks Leela. She says nothing, but her subdued brown eyes seek mine. I think you should go with the doctor. I'll come with you. Flynn frowns but keeps his counsel. Leela looks from me to him and nods. Good. I'll take her, I tell Flynn, and reach down and lift her into my arms. She weighs nothing. She closes her eyes and rests her head against my shoulder as I carry her down the stairs. Taylor is waiting for us. Mr. Grey, Anna's gone home, he says. Let's talk about it later. I've left my jacket upstairs. I'll bring it. Can you lock up? The keys are in my jacket.
Yes, sir.
Outside in the street, I put Leela into Flynn's car and climb in beside her. I fasten her seatbelt as Flynn and his colleagues sit up front. Flynn starts the car and pulls out into the rush hour traffic. As I stare out of the window, I hope that Anna is back at Escala. Mrs. Jones will feed her, and when I get home, she'll be there waiting for me. The thought is comforting. Flynn's office at the private psychiatric clinic on the outskirts of Fremont is Spartan compared to his office downtown. Two sofas, one armchair, no fireplace. That's it. I pace the length of the small room, waiting for him. I'm itching to get back to Anna. She must have been terrified. My phone has died, so I haven't been able to call her or Mrs. Jones to check on Anna's well-being. My watch says it's nearly 8. I glance out of the window. Taylor is parked and waiting in the SUV. I just want to go home. Back to Anna. The door opens and Flynn enters.
I thought you'd have left by now, he says.
I need to know she's okay.
She's a sick young woman, but she's calm and cooperative. She wants help, and that's always a good sign. Please sit. I need a few details from you.
I sit down in the chair and he takes a seat on one of the couches.
What happened today?
I explain all that took place in Anna's apartment prior to his arrival.
You gave her a bath, he says, surprised.
She was filthy. The stench was... I stop and shudder.
Okay. We can talk about that at another time.
Is she going to be okay?
I think so. Though you can't medicate against grief. It's a natural process. But I'll dig a little deeper and find out what we're dealing with here.
Anything she needs, I state.
That's very generous of you, considering she's not really your problem.
She came to me.
She did,
he acknowledges.
I feel responsible. You shouldn't. I'll update you when I know more.
Great. And thanks again.
I'm just doing my job, Christian.
Taylor is brooding on the way home. I know he's mad that Leela slipped through the cracks once more in spite of the measures we have in place. Anna's apartment was swept by security this morning. I say nothing. I'm tired and anxious to get back to Escala. Anna's purse and cell phone are still in the car, and Taylor has informed me that she went home with Ethan. The thought is displeasing. So I picture her snuggled in the armchair in the library, asleep, a book in her lap, alone. I'm impatient. I want to get home to my girl. As we pull into the garage, Taylor reminds me, we should review our security requirements now that Miss Williams has been found. Yes, I don't think we'll be needing the guys. I'll talk to Welch. Thanks. He parks and I'm out of the car in an instant, headed right to the elevator. I don't wait for him. As soon as I step into my apartment, I sense Anna's not home. My place has a ringing emptiness about it. Where the hell is she? Ryan is monitoring the CCTV. He looks up when I enter Taylor's office.
Mr. Gray?
Did Miss Steele come home?
No, sir.
Fuck. I thought she might have been, and gone. I turn and head for my study. She doesn't have her purse or her phone. Why hasn't she come home? Part of me wants to send the entire team combing the city looking for her, but where do I start? I could call Kavanaugh. Taylor says she left with him. Shit. Ethan and Anna. The idea does not sit well with me. I don't have his number. I contemplate calling Elliot to have him ask Kate for her brother's number, but it's after midnight in Barbados. With a frustrated sigh, I stare out at the city skyline. The sun is sinking into the sea off the Olympic Peninsula, reflecting the last of the light into my apartment. It's ironic that all this week I've been looking at this view and wondering where Leela might be. Now I'm wondering about Anna. It's getting dark. Where is she? She's left you, Gray. No, I'm not willing to believe that. Mrs. Jones knocks on the door.
Mr. Gray?
Gail?
You found her.
I frown. Anna?
Miss Williams,
she clarifies. In a sense, she's in the hospital where she needs to be.
Good. Would you like something to eat?
No, thanks. I'll wait for Anna. She studies me for a moment.
I've made some mac and cheese. I'll leave it in the fridge.
Mac and cheese. My favorite. Okay, thanks.
I'm going to retire to my room now.
Good night, Gail. She gives me a sympathetic smile and leaves. I check the time. 9:15. Damn it, Anna, come home. Where is she? Gone. No. I dismiss the thought and sit down at my desk and activate my computer. I have a few emails, but try as I might, I cannot concentrate. My concern for Anna is growing. Where is she? She'll be back soon. She will. She has to come back. I call Welch and leave a message that Leela has been found and is now getting the help she needs. I end the call and get up, unable to stay seated. It's been one hell of an evening. Perhaps I should read. In my bedroom, I pick up the book I've been reading and take it back into the living room, and wait, and wait. 10 minutes later, I throw the book onto the sofa beside me. I'm restless, and the uncertainty about Anna's whereabouts is becoming unbearable. I head into Taylor's office. He's there with Ryan.
Mr. Gray?
Can you send one of the guys to Anna's place? I want to check if she's returned to her apartment.
Of course.
Thanks. I head back to the sofa and pick up my book again. I keep glancing at the elevator, but it remains quiet. Empty. Like me. Empty except for my growing unease. She's gone. She's left you. Leela frightened her off. No, I can't believe that. It's not her style. It's me. She's had enough. Having said she'd move in, she's now reneged. Fuck. I get up and begin pacing. My phone buzzes. It's Taylor, not Anna. I quash my disappointment and take the call.
Taylor? The apartment's empty, sir. No one here. There's a ping. The elevator. I turn and Anna walks a little unsteadily into the living room. She's here. I snap at Taylor and hang up. Relief, anger, hurt. All combine in a rush of emotions that threaten to overwhelm me. Where the fuck have you been? I bark at her. She blinks and steps back. She's flushed. Have you been drinking? I ask.
A bit.
I told you to come back here. It's now 10:15. I've been worried about you.
I went for a drink or three with Ethan while you attended to your ex.
She spits out the last word like venom. Hell. She's mad. She continues.
I didn't know how long you were going to be with her.
She lifts up her chin with a look of righteous indignation. What? Why do you say it like that? I ask, confused by her response. Did she think I wanted to be with Leela? Anna looks down and stares at the floor, avoiding eye contact. She hasn't come completely into the room. What's going on? My anger subsides as anxiety ripples through my chest. Anna, what's wrong?
Where's Leela?
She looks around the room, her expression chilly. In a psychiatric hospital in Fremont. Where the hell does she expect Leela to be? Anna, what is it? I take a couple of cautious steps toward her, but she stands her ground, distant and aloof, and doesn't reach for me. What's wrong? I press her. She shakes her head.
I'm no good for you,
she says. My scalp tingles, pricked by fear. What? Why do you think that? How can you possibly think that?
I can't be everything you need.
You are everything I need.
Just seeing you with her.
Christ. Why do you do this to me? This is not about you, Anna. It's about her. Right now, she's a very sick girl.
But I felt it. What you had together.
What? No. I reach for her and she steps back, away from me, her cool eyes on mine, assessing me. And I don't think she likes what she sees. You're running? My anxiety rises, tightening my throat. She looks away and her brow furrows, but she says nothing. You can't, I whisper.
Christian, I...
She stops, and I think she's struggling to say her goodbyes. She's going. I knew it would happen. But so soon? No. No. I'm on the edge of the abyss once more. I can't breathe. This is it, what I'd predicted from the beginning.
I...
Anna mutters. How do I stop her? I look around the room for help. What can I do? You can't go. Anna, I love you. It's my last minute pitch to save this deal, to save us.
I love you too, Christian. It's just...
The vortex is sucking me under. She's had enough. I've driven her away. Again. I feel dizzy. I put my hands on my head, trying to contain the pain that slices through me. My despair is carving a hole in my chest that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's going to take me down. No. No. Find your happy place. My happy place. When was it easier? Easier to wear my pain on the outside. Elena is standing over me. In her hands, she holds a thin cane. The welts on my back burn, each throbbing with pain as my blood thrums through my body. I'm on my knees, at her feet. More, mistress. Quiet the monster. More, mistress. More. Find your happy place, Gray. Make your peace. Peace, yes. No. A tidal wave rises inside my body, crashing and breaking within me. But as it recedes, it sucks the fear away. You can do this. I drop to my knees. I take a deep breath and place my hands on my thighs. Yes. Peace. I'm in a landscape of calm.
I give myself to you. All of me. I'm yours to do with as you wish. What will she do? I look straight ahead and I'm aware that she's watching me. In the far distance, I hear her voice.
Christian, what are you doing?
I inhale slowly, filling my lungs. Fall is in the air. Anna.
Christian, what are you doing?
The voice is closer, louder, more high-pitched.
Christian, look at me!
I look up and wait. She's beautiful, pale, worried.
Christian, please don't do this. I don't want this.
You must tell me what you want. I wait.
Why are you doing this? Talk to me.
She pleads. What would you like me to say? She gasps. It's a soft sound, and it stirs memories of happier times with her. I shut those down. There is only now. Her cheeks are wet, tears. She wrings her hands. And suddenly she's on her knees, facing me. Her eyes are on mine. The outer rings of her irises are indigo. They lighten toward the middle to the color of a cloudless summer sky. But her pupils are expanding, a deep black darkening each center.
Christian, you don't have to do this. I'm not going to run. I've told you and told you and told you. I won't run. All that's happened, it's overwhelming. I just need some time to think. Some time to myself. Why do you always assume the worst?
Because the worst happens. Always.
I was going to suggest going back to my apartment this evening. You never give me any time. Time to just think things through.
She wants to be on her own. Away from me.
Just time to think.
She continues.
We barely know each other. And all this baggage that comes with you. I need time to think it through, and now that Leela is... Well, whatever she is, she's off the streets, and not a threat. I thought...
What did you think, Anna?
Seeing you with Leela...
She closes her eyes as if in pain.
It was such a shock. I had a glimpse into how your life has been, and...
She rips her gaze from mine and looks down at her knees.
This is about me not being good enough for you. It was an insight into your life, and I am so scared you'll get bored with me, and then you'll go, and I'll end up like Leela, a shadow. Because I love you, Christian, and if you leave me, it will be like a world without light. I'll be in darkness. I don't want to run, I'm just so frightened you'll leave me.
She's scared of the darkness, too. She's not going to run. She loves me.
I don't understand why you find me attractive.
Anna whispers.
You're you, and I'm...
She looks at me, troubled.
I just don't see it. You're beautiful and sexy and successful and good and kind and caring, all those things. And I'm not. And I can't do the things you like to do. I can't give you what you need. How could you be happy with me? How can I possibly hold you? I have never understood what you see in me. And seeing you with her, it brought all that home.
She raises her hand and wipes her nose that's blotchy and pink from crying.
Are you going to kneel here all night? Because I'll do it too.
She's mad at me. She's always mad at me.
Christian, please, please, talk to me.
Her lips would be soft. They are always soft after she's been crying. Her hair frames her face and my heart expands. Could I love her any more? She has all the qualities she says she doesn't, but it's her compassion I love most. Her compassion for me. Anna.
Please,
she says. I was so scared. I whisper. I'm scared now. When I saw Ethan arrive outside, I knew someone had let you into your apartment. Both Taylor and I leapt out of the car. We knew. And to see her there like that with you, and armed. I think I died 1,000 deaths, Anna. Someone threatening you. all my worst fears realized. I was so angry with her, with you, with Taylor, with myself. I'm haunted by the vision of Leela and her gun. I didn't know how volatile she would be. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how she'd react. I stop, remembering Leela's surrender. And then she gave me a clue. She looked so contrite. And I just knew what I had to do.
Go on,
Anna prompts. Seeing her in that state, knowing that I might have something to do with her mental breakdown, a memory from years ago surfaces, unwelcome. Leela smirking as she deliberately turned her back on me, knowing the consequences. She was always so mischievous and lively. She might have harmed you, and it would have been my fault. If anything happened to Anna.
But she didn't,
Anna says.
And you weren't responsible for her being in that state, Christian.
I just wanted you gone. I wanted you away from the danger, and you just wouldn't go. My exasperation returns and I glare at Anna. Anastasia Steele, you are the most stubborn woman I know. I close my eyes and shake my head. What am I going to do with her? If she stays. She's still kneeling in front of me when I open my eyes. You weren't going to run? I ask.
No!
Now she sounds exasperated. She's not leaving me. I take a deep breath. I stop. This is me, Anna. All of me. And I'm all yours. What do I have to do to make you realize that? To make you see that I want you any way I can get you? That I love you.
I love you too, Christian. And to see you like this is...
She pauses as she chokes back tears.
I thought I'd broken you.
Broken? Me? Oh no, Anna, just the opposite. You make me whole. Reaching out, I take her hand in mine. You're my lifeline, I whisper. I need you. I kiss each of her knuckles before pressing my palm against the palm of her hand. How can I make her see what she means to me? Let her touch me. Touch me, Anna. Yes. And before I overthink it, I take her hand and place it on my chest, over my heart. I'm yours, Anna. The darkness expands inside my rib cage and my breathing quickens, but I control my fear. I need her more. I drop my hand, leaving hers in place, and concentrate on her lovely face. Her compassion is there, reflected in her eyes. I see it. She flexes her fingers so I briefly feel her nails through my shirt. Then she removes her hand. No. My response is instinctive and I press her hand to my chest. Don't. She looks bewildered, but then she shuffles closer so our knees are touching. She reaches up. Shit. She's going to undress me. And I'm filled with dread. I can't breathe. With one hand, she awkwardly undoes the first button. She flexes the fingers trapped beneath my hand, and I let her go. Using both hands, she makes light work of my buttons, and when she pulls open my shirt, I gasp, and my breathing returns and starts to accelerate. Her hand hovers over my chest. She wants to touch me, skin to skin, flesh to flesh. Reaching deep within myself and relying on years of control, I steel myself for her touch. Anna hesitates. Yes, I whisper my encouragement and tilt my head to one side. Her fingertips are feather light on my sternum, stirring my chest hair. My fear rises in my throat, leaving a knot I can't swallow. Anna removes her hand, but I grab it, pressing it against my skin. No, I need to. My voice is low and strained. I must do this. I'm doing it for her. She flattens her palm on me, then traces a line with her fingertips to my heart. Her fingers are gentle and warm, but they're searing my skin, marking me. I'm hers. I want to give her my love and my trust. I'm yours, Anna, whatever you want. I'm aware I'm panting, dragging air into my lungs. Anna shifts, her eyes darkening. She runs her fingers over me again and then places her hands on my knees and leans forward. Fuck. I close my eyes. This will be hard to bear. I tilt my head up, waiting, and I feel her lips, with acute tenderness, plant a kiss over my heart. I groan. It's excruciating. It's hell. But it's Anna, here, loving me. Again? I whisper. She leans in and kisses me above my heart. I know what she's doing. I know where she's kissing me. She does it again and then again, her lips landing soft and gentle on each of my scars. I know where they are. I know where they've been since the day they were burned into my body. And here she is, doing what no one's ever done. Kissing me. Accepting me. Accepting this dark, dark side of me. She's slaying my demons. My brave girl. My beautiful, brave girl. My face is wet. My vision is blurred, but I feel my way to her and pull her into my arms, my hands in her hair. I turn her face up to mine and claim her lips, feeling her, consuming her, needing her. Oh, Anna, I whisper in veneration as I worship her mouth. I pull her down onto the floor and she cups my face and I don't know if the wet is from her tears or mine.
Christian, please don't cry. I meant it when I said I'd never leave you. I did. If I gave you any other impression, I'm so sorry. Please, please forgive me. I love you. I will always love you.
I look down at her, trying to accept what she's just said. She says she loves me, that she will always love me. But she doesn't know me. She doesn't know the monster. The monster is not worthy of her love.
What is it?
She says.
What is this secret that makes you think I'll run for the hills? That makes you so determined to believe I'll go? Tell me, Christian. Please.
She has a right to know. As long as we are together, this will always be an obstacle between us. She deserves the truth. Against my better judgment, I have to tell her. I sit up and cross my legs, and she sits up too, staring at me. Her eyes are round and fearful, reflecting my feelings exactly. Anna. I pause and take a deep breath. Tell her, Gray. Get it out. Then you'll know. I'm a sadist, Anna. I like to whip little brown-haired girls like you because you all look like the crack whore, my birth mother. I'm sure you can guess why. The words tumble out of my mouth in a rush like they've been ready and waiting for days. She remains impassive, still, quiet. Please, Anna. Finally, she speaks, and her voice is a frail whisper.
You said you weren't a sadist.
No, I said I was a dominant. If I lied to you, it was a lie of omission. I'm sorry. I can't look at her. I'm ashamed. I stare down at my fingers, like she does. But she remains mute, so I'm forced to look at her. When you asked me that question, I had envisioned a very different relationship between us. I add, it's the truth. Anna's eyes widen and suddenly she covers her face with her hands. She can't bear to look at me.
So it's true?
She whispers, and when she removes her hands, her face is alabaster.
I can't give you what you need.
What? No, 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 Anna. No, you can. You do give me what I need. Please believe me.
I don't know what to believe, Christian. This is so fucked up.
Her voice is choked with emotion. Anna, believe me, after I punished you and you left me, my worldview changed. I wasn't joking when I said I would avoid ever feeling like that again. When you said you loved me, it was a revelation. No one's ever said it to me before. And it was as if I'd laid something to rest. Or maybe you'd laid it to rest. I don't know. Dr. Flynn and I are still in deep discussion about it.
What does that all mean?
It means I don't need it. Not now.
How do you know? How can you be so sure?
I just know. The thought of hurting you in any real way, it's abhorrent to me.
I don't understand. What about rulers and spanking and all that kinky fuckery?
I'm talking about the heavy shit, Anastasia. You should see what I can do with a cane or a cat.
I'd rather not.
I know. If you wanted to do that, then fine, but you don't, and I get it. I can't do all that shit with you if you don't want to. I told you once before, you have all the power. And now, since you came back, I don't feel that compulsion at all.
When we met, that's what you wanted, though.
Yes, undoubtedly.
How can your compulsion just go, Christian? Like I'm some kind of panacea, and you're, for want of a better word, cured. I don't get it.
I wouldn't say cured. You don't believe me?
I just find it unbelievable, which is different.
If you'd never left me, then I probably wouldn't feel this way. Your walking out on me was the best thing you ever did for us. It made me realize how much I want you, just you. And I mean it when I say I'll take you any way I can have you. She stares at me. Impassive, confused. I don't know.
You're still here.
I thought you would be out of the door by now.
Why? Because I might think you're a sicko for whipping and fucking women who look like your mother? Whatever would give you that impression?
She snaps. Fuck. Anna has her claws out and she's sinking them into me. But I deserve it. Well, I wouldn't have put it quite like that, but yes. She's angry, maybe. Hurt, possibly. She knows my secret. My dark, dark secret. And now I await her verdict. Love me, or leave me. She closes her eyes.
Christian, I'm exhausted. Can we discuss this tomorrow? I want to go to bed.
You're not going? I can't believe it.
Do you want me to go?
No, I thought you would leave once you knew. Her expression is softer, but she still looks confounded. Please don't go, Anna. Life will be unbearable if you go. Don't leave me, I whisper.
Oh, for crying out loud, no!
She shouts, startling me.
I am not going to go.
Really? Unbelievable. She astonishes me even now.
What can I do to make you understand I will not run? What can I say?
She's exasperated. And to my surprise, an idea springs to mind, an idea so wild and out of my comfort zone that I wonder where it came from. I swallow. There's one thing you can do.
What?
She snaps. Marry me. Her mouth drops open and she gapes at me. Marriage, Gray? Have you taken leave of your senses? Why would she want to marry you? She's stunned, but then her lips part and she giggles. She bites her lip. I think it's to try and stop herself. But she fails. She flops down on the floor and her giggling turns to peals of laughter that echo through my living room. This is not the reaction I was expecting. Her laughter becomes hysterical. She drapes her hand across her face and I think she might be sobbing. I don't know what to do. Gently, I lift her arm off her face and wipe her tears with the back of my knuckles. I try for something light. You find my proposal amusing, Miss Steele? She sniffles and, reaching up, caresses my cheek. Again, not what I expected.
Mr. Gray...
She whispers.
Christian, your sense of timing is without doubt.
She stops, her eyes searching mine as if I'm a crazy fool, and maybe I am. But I need to know her answer. You're cutting me to the quick here, Anna. Will you marry me? Slowly she sits up and places her hands on my knees.
Christian, I've met your psycho ex with a gun. Been thrown out of my apartment, had you go thermonuclear 50 on me.
50. I open my mouth to plead my case, but she holds up her hand to stop me, so I remain mute.
You've just revealed some quite frankly shocking information about yourself, and now you've asked me to marry you.
Yes, I think that's a fair and accurate summary of the situation.
Whatever happened to delayed gratification?
She asks, confounding me once more. I got over it, and I'm now a firm advocate of instant gratification. Carpe diem, Anna.
Look, Christian, I've known you for about 3 minutes, and there's so much more I need to know. I've had too much to drink, I'm hungry, I'm tired, and I want to go to bed. I need to consider your proposal just as I considered that contract you gave me, and...
She pauses and purses her lips.
That wasn't the most romantic proposal.
Hope stirs in my chest. Fair point well made, as ever, Miss Steele. So that's not a no? She sighs.
No, Mr. Gray, it's not a no, but it's not a yes, either. You're only doing this because you're scared and you don't trust me.
No, I'm doing this because I finally met someone I want to spend the rest of my life with. I never thought that would happen to me. And that's the truth, Anna. I love you.
Can I think about it, please? And think about everything else that's happened today? What you've just told me? You asked for patience and faith. Well, back at you, Gray. I need those now.
Faith and patience. I lean forward and smooth a wayward lock behind her ear. I would wait an eternity for her answer if it meant that she didn't leave me. I can live with that. Leaning forward again, I give her a swift kiss. She doesn't recoil, and I feel a brief sense of relief. Not very romantic, eh? She shakes her head, her expression solemn. Hearts and flowers, I ask. She nods and I give her a smile. You're hungry?
Yes.
You didn't eat.
No, I didn't eat,
she says without rancor, and sits back on her heels.
Being thrown out of my apartment after witnessing my boyfriend interacting intimately with his ex-submissive considerably suppressed my appetite.
She places her hands on her hips. I get to my feet, still amazed that she's here. I hold out my hand. Let me fix you something to eat.
Can't I just go to bed?
She puts her hand in mine and I help her to her feet. No, you need to eat. Come. I lead her a few feet to a bar stool, and once she's sat down, I explore the fridge.
Christian, I'm really not hungry.
I ignore her as I look through the contents of the fridge. Cheese? I offer.
Not at this hour.
Pretzels?
In the fridge? No,
she says. You don't like pretzels?
Not at 11:30. Christian, I'm going to bed. You can rummage around in your refrigerator for the rest of the night if you want. I'm tired and I've had far too interesting a day. A day I'd like to forget.
She slides off the stool just as I find the dish Mrs. Jones prepared earlier this evening. Macaroni and cheese? I hold it up. Anna gives me a sideways look.
You like macaroni and cheese?
She asks. Like? I love mac and cheese. You want some? I try and tempt her. Her smile says all she needs to say. I pop the bowl into the microwave and press heat.
So you know how to use the microwave, then?
Anna teases. She's back on the bar stool. If it's in a packet, I can usually do something with it. It's real food I have a problem with. I set up 2 placemats, plates, and cutlery.
It's very late,
Anna says. Don't go to work tomorrow.
I have to go to work tomorrow. My boss is leaving for New York.
Do you want to go there this weekend?
I checked the weather forecast and it looks like rain, she says.
Oh, so what do you want to do? The microwave pings. Our supper is ready.
I just want to get through one day at a time right now. All this excitement is tiring.
Using a cloth, I remove the steaming bowl from the microwave and place it on the kitchen counter. It smells delicious, and I'm pleased that my appetite has returned. Anna dishes a spoonful onto each plate as I take my seat. It's staggering that she's still with me, in spite of all I've told her. She's so strong. She never disappoints. Even when facing Leela, she kept her cool. She takes a bite of her food, as do I. It's exactly how I like it. Sorry about Leela, I mutter.
Why are you sorry?
It must have been a terrible shock for you, finding her in your apartment. Taylor swept through it earlier himself. He's very upset.
I don't blame Taylor.
Neither do I. He's been out looking for you.
Really? Why?
I didn't know where you were. You left your purse, your phone. I couldn't even track you. Where did you go?
Ethan and I just went to a bar across the street, so I could watch what was happening.
I see.
So what did you do with Leela in the apartment?
You really want to know? I ask.
Yes.
She replies, but in a tone that makes me think she's not sure. I hesitate, but she glances at me once more and I have to be honest. We talked and I gave her a bath, and I dressed her in some of your clothes. I hope you don't mind, but she was filthy. Anna remains mute and turns away from me. My appetite vanishes. Shit, I shouldn't have told her. It was all I could do, Anna. I try to explain.
You still have feelings for her?
No. I close my eyes as a vision of Leela, sad and waif-like, comes to mind. To see her like that, so different, so broken, I care about her, one human being to another. I let go of the image and turn to Anna. Anna, look at me. She stares at her untouched food. Anna.
What?
She whispers. Don't. It doesn't mean anything. It was like caring for a child, a broken, shattered child. She closes her eyes, and for a horrid moment, I think she's going to burst into tears. Anna. She stands and takes her plate to the sink and scrapes the contents into the trash. Anna, please.
Just stop, Christian. Just stop with the Anna, please.
She shouts with exasperation and starts to cry.
I've had enough of all this shit today. I'm going to bed. I'm tired and emotional. Now let me be.
She storms out of the kitchen toward the bedroom, leaving me with cooling, congealing macaroni and cheese. Shit. Wednesday, June 15th, 2011. I put my head in my hands and rub my face. I can't believe I asked Anna to marry me. And she didn't say no, but she didn't say yes either. She may never say yes. In the morning, she'll wake and come to her senses. The day started so well, but it's been a train wreck since this evening, since Leela. Well, at least she's safe and getting the help she needs. But at what cost? Anna? She now knows everything. She knows I'm a monster. But she's still here. Focus on the positive, Gray. My appetite has gone the same way as Anna's, and I'm exhausted. It's been an emotional evening. I get up from the kitchen counter. I've experienced more in the last half hour than I would have thought possible. This is what she does to you, Gray. She makes you feel. You know you're alive when you're with her. I can't lose her. I've only just found her. Confused and overwhelmed, I deposit my plate in the sink and head to my bedroom. It will be our bedroom if she says yes. Outside the bathroom, I hear a stifled noise. She's weeping. I open the door and she's on the floor, curled up in the fetal position, wearing one of my t-shirts and sobbing. The sight of her in such despair is like a swift kick to my gut that leaves me breathless. It's intolerable. I crawl onto the floor. Hey, I murmur as I pull her into my lap. Please don't cry, Anna, please. She snakes her arms around me and clings to me, but her crying shows no sign of abating. Oh, baby. Gently I stroke her back, thinking about how much more her tears affect me than Leela's did. Because I love her. She's brave and strong, and this is how I reward her. By making her cry. I'm sorry, baby, I whisper, holding her, and I start to rock to and fro as she weeps. I kiss her hair. Eventually, her crying subsides and she shudders, racked with dry sobs. I stand with her in my arms, carry her to the bedroom, and lay her down on the bed. She yawns and closes her eyes while I strip out of my pants and shirt. Leaving my underwear on, I slip into a t-shirt and switch off the lights. In bed, I hold her close. Within seconds, her breathing deepens and I know she's asleep. She's exhausted, too. I dare not move for fear of waking her. She needs sleep. In the dark, I try to make some sense of all that has occurred this evening. So much has happened. Too much. Too much. Leela stands before me. She's a waif, and her stench makes me take a step back. The stench. No.
The stench. He smells. He smells of nasty and dirt. It makes sick come into my mouth. He's mad. I hide under the table.
There you are, you little prick.
He has cigarettes. No. I call my mommy, but she doesn't hear me. She lies on the floor. Smoke comes out of his mouth. He laughs, and he holds my hair. The burn. I scream. I don't like the burn. Mommy is on the floor. I sleep beside her. She is cold. I cover her with my blankie. He's back. He's mad.
Crazy, stupid bitch. Get out of my way, you stupid fucking runt.
He hits me and I fall. He goes, he locks the door. And it's mommy and me. And then she's gone. Where is mommy? Where is mommy? He holds the cigarette in front of me. No. He takes a puff. No. He presses it against my skin. No. The pain. The smell. No. Christian.
My eyes flick open. There's light. Where am I? My bedroom. Anna's out of bed, holding my shoulder, shaking me. You left. You left. You must have left. I mumble incoherently. She sits down beside me.
I'm here,
she says, and lays her palm on my cheek.
You were gone.
I only have nightmares when you're not here.
I just went for a drink. I was thirsty.
Closing my eyes, I rub my face, trying to separate fact from fiction. She hasn't left. She's looking down at me. Kind, kind Anna. My girl. You're here. Oh, thank God. I pull her down beside me on the bed.
I just went to get a drink,
she says, as I wrap my arms around her. She strokes my hair and my cheek.
Christian, please. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, Anna. My mouth claims hers. She tastes of orange juice, sweetness, and home. My body responds as I kiss her, her ear, her throat. I tug her bottom lip with my teeth as I caress her body, my hand pushing up the t-shirt she's wearing. She trembles as I cup her breast, and she moans into my mouth as my fingers find her nipple. I want you, I whisper. I need you.
I'm here for you. Only you, Christian.
Her words light a fire inside me. I kiss her again. Please never leave me. She grabs my t-shirt and I move so that she can pull it off. I pull her upright while kneeling between her legs and drag off her t-shirt. She looks up at me, her eyes dark and full of hunger and longing. Holding her face, I kiss her and we sink onto the mattress. Her fingers tangle in my hair as she kisses me back, matching my fervor. Her tongue in my mouth, eager to please. Oh, Anna. Suddenly she pulls back and pushes against my arms.
Christian, stop. I can't do this.
What? What's wrong? I murmur against her throat.
No, please, I can't do this. Not now. I need some time. Please.
Oh, Anna, don't overthink this, I whisper, as my anxiety returns. I'm fully awake, She's rejecting me. No. I'm desperate. I tug her earlobe with my teeth, and her body bows under my touch, and she gasps. I'm just the same, Hannah. I love you, and I need you. Touch me, please. I stop and rub my nose against hers and stare down at her, holding my weight on my arms as I wait for her response. Our relationship rests on this moment. If she can't do this, if she can't touch me, if I can't have her, I wait. Please, Anna. Tentatively, she reaches up and places her hand on my chest. Heat and pain spiral across my chest as the darkness unleashes its claws. I gasp and close my eyes. I can do this. I can do this for her. My girl. Anna. She runs her hand up to my shoulder, her fingertips scalding my skin. I groan. I want this so much, and I dread it so much. To dread your lover's touch. What kind of fuck up am I? She pulls me down to her and moves her hands to my back, holding me, her palms on my flesh, branding me. My strangled cry is half groan, half sob. I bury my face in her neck, hiding, seeking solace from the pain, but kissing her, loving her, as her fingers cross the two scars on my back. It's almost unbearable. I kiss her feverishly, losing myself in her tongue and her mouth as I fight my demons, using only my lips and my hands. They skim over her body while her hands move over mine. The darkness is swirling, trying to dislodge her, but Anna's fingers are on me, caressing me, feeling me, gentle, loving, and I steel myself against my fear and the pain. I trail my lips down to her breasts and close them around one nipple, tugging until it's hard and standing at attention. She groans as her body rises to meet mine, and she scrapes her fingernails across the muscles on my back. It's too much. Fear erupts in my chest, hammering my heart. Oh, fuck, Anna. I cry out and stare down at her. She's panting, eyes bright and brimming with sensuality. This is turning her on. Fuck. Don't overthink this, Gray. Man up. Go with it. Taking a deep breath to slow my pounding heart, I skate my hand down her body, over her belly, to her labia. I cup her, and my fingers are wet with her anticipation. Easing them inside her, I circle them, and she pushes her pelvis up to meet my hand. Anna. Her name is an invocation. I release her and sit up, and her hands fall away so she's no longer touching me. I feel relieved and bereft at once. I remove my boxers, freeing my cock, and lean over to the bedside table for a condom. I hand it to her. You want to do this? You can still say no. You can always say no.
Don't give me a chance to think, Christian.
She's breathless.
I want you to.
She rips open the foil with her teeth and slowly, with trembling fingers, slides it onto me. Her fingers on my erection are torture. Steady, you are going to unman me, Anna. She gives me a quick, possessive smile, and when she's done, I stretch over her. But I need to know she wants this, too. I roll us both over, quickly. You take me, I whisper, staring up at her. She licks her lips and sinks down on me, taking me inch by inch. I tilt my head back and close my eyes. I'm yours, Anna. She grabs my hands and starts to move up and down. Oh, baby. Leaning forward, she kisses my chin and runs her teeth over my jaw. I'm going to come. Shit. I still her with my hands on her hips. Slow, baby, please, let's take this slow. Her eyes are full of passion and excitement. And I steel myself once more. Anna, touch me, please. Her eyes widen with sheer delight and she spreads her hands on my chest. It's blistering. I cry out and thrust deep inside her. She whimpers, and her fingernails trail through my chest hair, tantalizing me, teasing me. But the darkness is pushing at each point of contact, determined to rupture my skin. It's so painful, so intense, Tears spring to my eyes, and Anna's face blurs in a watery vision. I twist so that she's underneath me.
Enough. No more. Please.
She reaches up and clasps my face in her hands, wiping my tears, then pulling me down so that her lips are on mine. I drive into her, trying to find my equilibrium, but I'm lost. Lost to this woman. Her breath is at my ear, short, panting. She's reaching. She's close. But she's holding back.
Let go, Anna, I whisper.
No.
Yes,
I plead, and I shift and roll my hips, filling her. She moans loud and clear, her legs tensing.
Come on, baby, I need this. Give it to me.
We need this. She lets go, convulsing around me and crying out while she wraps her arms and legs around my body, and I find my release. Her fingers are in my hair while my head rests on her chest. She's here. She didn't leave, but I can't shake the feeling that I nearly lost her again.
Don't ever leave me,
I whisper. Above me, I feel her move her head, her chin lifting in that mulish way she has. I know you're rolling your eyes at me, I add, pleased that she's doing so.
You know me well.
There's humor in her tone. Thank God. I'd like to know you better.
Back at you, Gray,
she says, and asks me what torments me when I sleep.
The usual.
She insists that I tell her more.
Oh, Anna, do you really want to know?
She remains silent, waiting. I sigh.
I must be about 3, and the crack whore's pimp is mad as hell again. He smokes and smokes, one cigarette after another, and he can't find an ashtray. Does she really want this shit in her head? The burn, the smell, the screaming.
She tenses beneath me.
It hurt, I mutter. It's the pain I remember. That's what gives me nightmares. That and the fact that she did nothing to stop him.
Anna's hold on me tightens. I lift my head, meeting her eyes.
You're not like her. Don't ever think that. Please.
She blinks a couple of times and I lay my head on her chest again. The crack whore was weak.
No, maggot, not now.
She killed herself, abandoning me. Sometimes in the dream she's just lying on the floor, and I think she's asleep, but she doesn't move. She never moves, and I'm hungry, really hungry. There's a loud noise and he's back, and he hits me so hard, cursing the crack whore. His first reaction was always to use his fists or his belt.
Is that why you don't like to be touched?
I close my eyes and hold her tighter. That's complicated. I nuzzle the space between her breasts, surrounding myself with her essence.
Tell me,
she asks. She didn't love me. She can't have loved me. She didn't protect me, and she left me alone. I didn't love me. The only touch I knew was harsh. It stemmed from there. I never had a mother's loving touch, Anna. Never. Grace respected my boundaries. I still don't know why. Flynn explains it better than I can.
Can I see Flynn?
She asks. 50 Shades rubbing off on you? I try to lighten the mood.
And then some.
Anna squirms.
I like how it's rubbing off right now.
I love her levity. And if she can joke about this, there's hope.
Yes, Miss Steele, I like that too.
I kiss her and stare into the warm depths of her eyes.
You're so precious to me, Anna. I was serious about marrying you. We can get to know each other then. I can look after you. You can look after me. We can have kids if you want. I will lay my world at your feet, Anastasia. I want you, body and soul, forever.
Please think about it. I will think about it, Christian. I will. I'd really like to talk to Dr. Flynn, though, if you don't mind.
Anything for you, baby. Anything. When would you like to see him?
Sooner rather than later.
Okay. I'll make the arrangements in the morning. I glance at the clock. 3:44. It's late. We should sleep. I switch off the light and pull her to me so we're spooning. I only spoon with Anna. I nuzzle her neck. I love you, Anna Steele, and I want you by my side. Always. Now go to sleep.
I'm woken by a commotion. Anna is leaping over me and onto the floor and heading for the bathroom.
She's leaving?
No. I check the time. Shit, it's late. I think this is the latest I've ever slept. She's going to work. Shaking my head, I call Taylor through the internal phone system.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Taylor, good morning. Could you take Miss Steele to work today?
With pleasure, sir.
She's rather late.
I'll wait for her outside the front door.
Great. Come back for me.
Will do, sir.
I sit up and Anna hurries out of the bathroom, drying herself and gathering her clothes at the same time. It's quite the floor show, especially when she dons a pair of black lace panties and a matching lace bra.
Yes. I could watch this all day. You look good.
You can call in sick, you know, I offer.
No, Christian, I can't. I'm not a megalomaniac CEO with a beautiful smile who can come and go as he pleases.
Beautiful smile? Megalomaniac? I grin. I like to come as I please.
Christian!
She sputters and throws the towel at me. I laugh. She's still here, and I don't think she hates me. Beautiful smile, huh?
Yes, you know the effect you have on me.
She wraps her watch strap around her wrist and stops to fasten it.
Do I?
Yes, you do. The same effect you have on all women. Gets really tiresome watching them all swoon.
Does it? I can't hide my amusement.
Don't play the innocent, Mr. Gray. It really doesn't suit you.
She yanks her hair up into a ponytail and puts on a pair of high-heeled shoes. Baby's in black. She looks sensational. She bends down to kiss me goodbye, and I can't resist. I pull her down onto the bed.
Thank you for still being here, Anna.
What can I do to tempt you to stay? I whisper.
You can't,
she grumbles and makes a feeble effort to fight me off.
Let me go.